All right, we're going to be in the book of Jonah this morning, if you have a Bible and want to turn there. Continuing in our series that we've been in for a couple of weeks now, Come Walk With Me. And, okay, so in the Kunkler household, if you don't know, we have five kids. And so me and Megan plus five kids, so there's usually something fun is going on in the house, a lot of activity. And most recently, the activity that the family's been engaging in is chess. Any chess fans in the house? Right? So anytime I sit down to play chess with one of the kids, one of the first things I have to do is I have to talk a little trash. Any trash talkers in the house? A few of us? Yeah. So talking trash is just a way to get inside the head of your opponent, just to kind of work your way in psychologically to hopefully undermine their ability to beat you. And so I'll say, hey, buddy, you want to play chess? And he's like, yeah. And we'll get the board set up, and everybody's putting their pieces where they're supposed to go. And I'll just say something like this across. I'll just fire a shot across the bow. I'll say, you're going down. And when I say something like you're going down, I don't have to define what down means to the person that I'm playing. They know that down means I'm going to do something bad to them. Down means, like when I say you're going down, it means you're going to lose and I'm going to win. Something bad is about to happen to you. Something good is about to happen to me. We know what it means when someone says to you, you're going down. It means not good things are going to happen to you. Interesting, when we look in the book of Jonah, it's pretty clear when we don't receive the invitation to walk with God, we go down. Right? Just look at verse 3. Don't take my word for it. Let's let Jonah tell us. Right? So Jonah in verse 2 refuses the call of the Lord to go to Nineveh. And then here's what happens in verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship. So he goes down to Joppa. Then look at verse 5. Jonah finds a ship, and there's a tempest on the sea. And then here's where we pick up verse 5. Then the mariners, the sailors, were afraid because the storm hits the sea, and each cried out to his God. That's not going to do him much good, but they're doing it anyway. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Right? So Jonah says, no, God, I'm not going to walk with you. I'm going to do my own thing. And he goes down to Joppa. He goes down into the belly of the ship. He lays down to take a sleep. And then, like, fast forward a bit, the storm is raging all around. Jonah's down in the ship. The sailors are freaking out. The sailors cast lots to try to figure out who's responsible for the storm. And they're wondering who's responsible for the storm, because the storm they're in isn't like any other storm they've seen. This is a different storm, and they know that there's something divine going on here, and it's not good. So look at verse 8. Then they, the sailors, said to Jonah, after the lot fell to Jonah, here's why the storm's happening, it's this guy. So they said to Jonah, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What, Jonah, is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And of what people are you? The interrogation is on. The sailors are freaked. Verse 9. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had already told them. And the sailors don't want to do what they do next, but because they need to stop the raging storm, then the sailors throw Jonah overboard, off of the boat, down, there it is again, down into the waters. And then Jonah, not an Olympic swimmer, Jonah in the tempest of the waves and the seas is drawn down under the waters. And then from there, the Lord appoints a monstrous fish, probably a whale, to come and swallow him. And then Jonah goes down again, You're going down, Jonah. He goes down into the belly of the fish, and then the fish swims down into the sea. Down, down, down goes Jonah. So Jonah was invited to walk with the Lord to Nineveh, and instead of doing that, Jonah transgresses. A transgression in the Old Testament means a breaking of the relationship. It's not specific like a moral wrong thing that you did. There's other words for that. But a transgression means to like break covenant with, to break away from relationship, a betrayal of relationship. So what Jonah does here in chapter 1 is he chooses religion over relationship. He chooses principles over presence. He is walking away. He is breaking away from relationship with the Lord. And because he does that, Jonah goes down. The words are there. The narrative is clear that Jonah is moving progressively steeper and steeper and steeper into what is abstractly defined as down. Now, what is abstractly defined as down here in chapter 1, let's lend some specifics or some details to describe what specifically the down is that Jonah is feeling here in chapter 1. First thing that Jonah is feeling is, we'll call it a restriction of movement. If you get swallowed into the belly of a whale, like, remember the kids' cartoons where Jonah's like camping out in this like cavernous, like a room like this, and there's lights in there and there's all manner of things. It's like a hotel room, right? That's not what Jonah's experience is in the belly of the whale. He is in a tight, constricted, can't move kind of space. He is a prisoner in tight quarters in solitary confinement. I don't want to like freak anybody out, but anybody like claustrophobic in the house, right? You don't want to get swallowed into the belly of a whale because it's going to mess with you. Jonah is constricted, tight, brother, can't move. That's where he is specifically in his down condition. Now, contrast where he is because he transgressed away from the Lord. Contrast that with the where he could be right now, walking with the Lord to Nineveh. Instead of being constricted and restricted in his movement, Jonah could be out and about walking freely with the Lord, just moving, right? Moving about the cabin. He could walk, he could skip, he could run, jump, he could hike, he could, I don't know, unicycle. Whatever you want to do, Jonah, you are unrestricted in your movement as you are walking with the Lord to Nineveh. That was your offer, but Jonah said no. And so now instead of moving freely, now he is restricted in every physical way possible. Here's another specific, right, about Jonah's downward experience. He's not just restricted and constricted in his movement. Jonah is also in a very, very dark place. I mean that literally, but also figuratively. I don't know, scientists, you could help me, but any instrument that would measure light, right, in the presence of light in an atmosphere, if you go through 2 feet of whale blubber and then go to the inside of a whale and take the lightometer into that space, my guess is the lightometer is going to say zero, right? We've been in some dark places, but this is dark. Okay, so he's in the midst of the fish, and it is dark physically there. And then the fish starts to swim down. And in the ocean, actually any body of water, anywhere between 600 feet and 3,000 feet is described as the twilight zone, because there is such little light that can make it through the 600 feet of water to get to that region of the depths. So Jonah is in 2 feet of like whale matter, and then he's in the depths of the sea, probably in the twilight zone, maybe actually even deeper than 3,000 feet. Jonah is in the absolute utter darkness. Contrast that with where he could have been had he taken the Lord up on his offer to walk with him. And had he walked with the Lord to Nineveh, Jonah would be out in the light of day. The sun would be shining on his skin. He would be absorbing vitamin D. It would have been a very light and airy environment. And he would have had colors abounding all around him. And the scenery would have changed as he was walking and making his way, walking with the Lord to Nineveh. Colors abounding in the light of day. But Jonah has transgressed the relationship, said no, he has gone down, he is restricted, and it is utterly dark. In addition to that, let's just get a little more detailed on the abstraction of down. Here's some specifics. Jonah's in the belly of a whale. What happens in the belly of animals? Digestion happens. So he's constricted, he is tight, he is restricted, and there are digestive juices, meaning acids, excreting all around him. Now, anybody ever had like an acid accident on your skin? Not good. Doesn't feel good. That's what's happening to Jonah right here. He is getting digested. Is that too much information for us? It's what's going on. It's down. He is experiencing down right now. In addition to getting digested, right, that all those digestive things in the central belly of the whale, they don't smell good. So Jonah is like struggling for breath, and he's choking on foul air. And in all of this down that he is experiencing, Jonah comes to his senses. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Jonah says here in verse 2, he's in the belly of Sheol, and that's where he's crying out from. In the Old Testament, Sheol is literally, it's the place of death. It's the underworld. When people die, where do they go? Sheol is the place they go. It's like the intermediary place, like while God is sorting out things in human history and awaiting our future destiny, Sheol is the place of death. There are actually some Old Testament scholars that believe, based on the language that Jonah is using, that Jonah actually dies in the belly of the fish. Now, I don't necessarily believe that. I believe this is figurative language. I think it's metaphorical, right? But I think what Jonah is, whether abstractly or figuratively or literally, what he's describing is he is in a tomb-like environment. Restricted, dark, it's the place of nastiness. It is a place of death. And contrast that, the belly of Sheol, where Jonah finds himself, contrast that with where the Lord offered to go with him on his walk to Nineveh. The walk to Nineveh would have been a place of life and rejuvenation to Jonah. He would have actually walked with the presence of the Lord out in the light of day and all the good things, birds chirping, amazing things happening out there, amazing life for Jonah on the walk to Nineveh, and life for the Ninevites when they receive the message that Jonah has for them and then believe, as they will, a message of life. So God invites Jonah this way. Jonah breaks relationship and says no and goes this way. And then Jonah goes down, down, down. And in the story, it just looks as if Jonah is absolutely and utterly alone. One could say walking by himself. But if we were to assume that Jonah was walking this journey by himself, we would be mistaken, because the scriptures here are very, very clear. Jonah is not alone. Look at verse 4. But the Lord, all these things are happening after Jonah transgresses and walks away on his journey down. Who do we see? Verse 4. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. There he is. Look at verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. There's the Lord again. Chapter 2, verse 2. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. You can only answer if you're within talking distance. There's the Lord again. Verse 10, chapter 2. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto dry land. There he is again. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. The Lord says again, Jonah, let's walk to Nineveh. So here's the idea. Here's what's been going on so far. Jonah refuses to walk with the Lord where the Lord wants him to walk to. All good things. But Jonah refuses to walk with the Lord. So the Lord had to choose instead to walk with Jonah. Down, down, down. Every step of the down way, the Lord goes with Jonah. Jonah fleeing the presence of the Lord, and the presence of the Lord chasing after Jonah. That's pretty cool. But is this not what he also does for us? Is not Jonah's experience with the Lord all of our experiences? We transgressed. Yes or yes? Which of us have not walked away from the Lord, doing our own thing, going in our own direction, breaking covenant, walking away? We walked away from the presence. And in our walkings away, we do what? We went down, down, down. We walk away from the Lord. We go down, down, down. The specifics are different, but the down is the same. And then what does Jesus do for us? He chases us all the way down. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Regarding down, what did Jesus do? He left heaven and he came to earth. That's a down. I don't know if it's like literally like spatially down, but it's a downward trajectory. He left heaven and came to earth. And then Jesus was lifted high on the cross, the great king reigning above his wayward creation. And then he died. And what happened? They brought him down, down off the cross. And I guarantee you, when Jesus came down off the cross, Jesus was looking infinitely worse than Jonah looked after 3 days of being digested in the belly of a whale. Jesus looked like all that death entails. But he comes down off of the cross. And then Jesus goes down into the tomb. He's placed there. And then Jesus, like, literally goes down into death. He goes into the Sheol regions, the netherworld, the underplace. He goes down into death itself. Many theologians say that Jesus actually went down beyond death, but down into hell, right? Into the places where, like, the dark spiritual powers call their epicenter, their operation center, that Jesus goes down there. And what is Jesus doing? He's carrying our transgressions. He's carrying our sins. Where is he taking them? He's taking them down. Where did they take us? Down. Jesus is going with us all the way down. He leaves the 99 to chase after the one in all the down places that the one goes. And why does he do this? Because it's fun for him? Because he was bored and needed an adventure? No, he does this because he wants to lift us up. He comes and he walks with us all the way down so that we can receive a rescue. And like Jonah, receive a new and renewed invitation to walk with him into the up, up, up. Out of the tomb, into new life. Well, this is good news. How do we receive this? How do we receive this Jesus going down on our behalf in order to take care of our down and then lift us up into a renewed call to up? How do we receive this? Well, probably the same way that Jonah received his rescue. In chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress in all of the down that he had experienced. And the Lord answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you, God, heard my voice. Jonah simply called on the name of the Lord. Who was with there? He was with him the whole time, waiting for Jonah just to say, help, help, I'm down, help, pick me up. Jonah calls on the name of the Lord. Now, to be specific here, what Jonah did not call on is he did not call on his religion. When you're down like that in the constricted dark belly of the fish in the Sheol regions of the abyss, religion isn't going to save you. Religion has no power to find you and lift you out of that place. Religion didn't rescue Jonah, but relationship did. The person of Jesus met him there. In the depths of Sheol, Jonah did not grab a hold of his principles, his deeply held beliefs about things. He didn't grab a hold of principles. He grabbed a hold of the presence. He called on the presence of the Lord. Now, I want to say a couple of things here that might be confusing to some, but if you trust me here and just think it through with me, it's not going to be confusing. Grace did not meet Jonah in the depths of the abyss. The person of Jesus did. Mercy did not save Jonah from the deep darkness. Jesus did. Faith did not rescue Jonah while he was in the depths of death itself. Faith didn't save him. Jesus did. Now, regarding Jesus, he is full of grace. But grace can't save you. I don't know what grace is. I'm just thankful that Jesus is filled with grace, because then Jesus can reach out with grace in his arms. Jesus is, thankfully, merciful. But mercy, whatever mercy is, ain't going to save anybody from anything. But Jesus is merciful. Praise the Lord, he is. In his mercy, he rescues Jonah and us. And again, faith. Faith didn't rescue Jonah at all. Faith just happens to be the mechanism that connects Jonah to the one, the presence, who does rescue and who does save. And the Lord wants to rescue Jonah. He's eager and waiting to rescue him and to draw him up. And he is eager with us as well. So our privilege is to call on the name of the Lord just like Jonah did. Out of the down, down, down depths that we get ourselves into when we transgress and walk away from the Lord in all the ways that we do, Jesus has already done all of the work necessary to rescue us. And Jesus is just waiting to gift us forgiveness. He's waiting to blanket us with mercy and to cover us with his grace, because Jesus has already earned it on our behalf. He has already gone down, down, down for us. And I believe that Jesus said in his own words, and I quote, "It is finished." And he did all of this to bring us back into relationship. Transgression covered, so that we can walk with him in all the cool things that he wants to invite us into, out in the light of day with freedom of movement, New things passing by, new colors, new adventures, up, up, up into the new life that He wants us to walk with Him in. Band, come on back up. We're going to sing a couple more songs. And we're going to take communion. And communion is a celebration that God was not a well-wisher looking upon us with pity as we were down, but that in His literal physical self, He came here. Jesus came and went down on our behalf. And the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus is the picture of God going down on our behalf, taking upon our transgression and our sin upon His very self. And communion has never been to make us feel bad or to humiliate us, because this is what was required to save us. Communion has always been a remembrance that Jesus has already gone down for us. That all the things that we did that took us down have been covered by Him. And now all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and allow Him to lift us up, 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 out of the grave, out of Sheol, out of the darkness, out of the constricted, restricted experience of living, out into freedom and openness and light. It's a reminder that He does it and we don't have to. The presence did it. The person of Jesus did it. And He continues to do it, which is why Jesus said, keep remembering My broken body and My shed blood. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. It's the only way to get you out of the down. It's the only way. So here's what we're going to do. You guys know the drill. We're going to exit out to the sides, come down, come across, grab the juice here and then the bread, and then head back to your seats. And then at any point in the next two songs that you're ready, receive the down body of Jesus and thank Him. Thank Him for going down, for chasing us all the way into the depths, to make a way for us to walk with Him out, up, into the light of life. And that light of life actually happens to be eternal and forever. What a gift. What kindness. If you're here and you have never called upon the name of the Lord, Jonah chapter 2 verse 1, would love for this to be the morning that you choose to do that. You can choose to stay down on your own and carry upon yourself the transgression of walking away from the Lord and sin and the down and the darkness and the restriction and all of you. We can live in that as long as we want to. And it breaks God's heart. But there has to be a moment where we say, no, God, I need You. I need Jesus in Your broken body, shed blood. I need You and You in Your movement down. I need You to meet me here and lift me up. If that's you this morning, then I'm just going to ask you to just call out and receive. And then as your first act of faith, you can come down and join us in communion and celebrate what Jesus has done for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, oh, thank You that You do not leave us on our own. Thank You for the picture, God, the very real historical picture of what You did with literal Jonah. You chased him down in order to find him and to grab him and to lift him up. And Father, thanks that You do the same with us today. We receive and we say thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for bearing in Your body the marks of going down on our behalf. And then thank you that you broke out of the tomb on the third day and you say, walk with me in the newness of life. And we say, yes, help us. Spirit of God, help us to that end. But right now, we say thanks as we receive the body and we receive the blood with joy-filled hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.